Well, my brothers and my sisters, once again, I tell you, I am glad and elated anytime I can stand before you and bring you God's holy word. Today, God is going to speak to us and give us a revelation that is good for this particular season. My brothers and my sisters, as we know, we are in the Christmas season, the giving season, the gifting season, if you will. But today, we want to speak on the greatest gift ever given, the greatest gift ever given. So today I'm going to bring forth a message from the Lord entitled, the message that we will bring forth today. And I tell you, it is truly from the Lord on today. It is in regard to the greatest gift. The greatest gift we know, as it is said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but to have everlasting life. So today we're going to speak on giving birth to God's promise. Giving birth to God's promise. Today we will be coming from the text of Luke chapter 1. The text we'll be coming from today will be Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. And today, I will actually be reading the scripture because I don't want us to miss this revelation that God has for us. And the scripture reading reads as such, beginning at verse 26. It says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was great trouble at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. And Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May it be unto me as you have said. Then the angel left after hearing these things. My brothers and my sisters, Philippians 4:13 tells us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You know, my brothers and my sisters, we often quote that for encouragement or try to motivate others to move forward in what seems to be impossible endeavors. But it becomes a source of divine encouragement when you understand that God believes in you and desires to strengthen you and to use you to do his will. For men to do so is very helpful at times, but when God is the one doing it, it reaches a new level and magnitude of impact. You see, that verse in its rightful context was Paul's statement in response to identifying various things God had required of him. And no matter what God asked of him, Paul knew that he could do all things through Christ who would give him the strength. And likewise, we can be assured of the Lord's help and strength to assist us in accomplishing what he requires of us. In Luke 1, about how did the birthing of the promise come into fullness? Well, what does that mean? You know, my brothers and my sisters, God is calling individuals just like you and me to give birth to things that are of divine origin, not a concoction of man's ingenuity, but that which originated and proceeded from the throne of God, just like Christ did. Man does much alone, but we are called to a higher purpose. God is placing a higher call on his people, and we need to answer the call and meet that challenge by knowing that we can do all things through Christ. So I want to look at a few points before I turn it back over into the hands of Brother Mel. Number one is Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. And it says, "But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a virgin woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive full rights as sons and daughters." Christ didn't just happen to come when he did. He arrived by appointment of his Father. It was a part of God's eternal purpose and plan for the days and the ages to come. He came at a specific time to a specific place, born to a specific people, and in a specific setting. The specifics of Christ's first coming could be an endless list, and his second coming will also be a specific event. It will be at God's chosen and God's ordained time. But in this same manner, I believe and I know that we are where we are when we are alive in this specific day and hour. Under divine appointment and plan. This is a specific time that God has ordained, and there is a specific heavenly agenda that he wants to be carried out through you and through me. Just as he ordained that his son be transferred from heaven to earth, I believe that God has ordained that there is a specific thing to transfer from heaven to the earth, and I believe he wants you and me to be a part of the process. And though it is not God's only begotten son that we are to give birth to, it is nonetheless the offspring of God. It is God's baby, if you will. Let me give you then a definition of what God's baby is. The result of God's power working through individuals who bring about his divine purpose on earth. We all have things we need God to birth in us and through us, and these things must be instigated from heaven. It will require a sovereign move of God. After all, Mary was minding her own business when God gave her the promise. She was minding her own business. She wasn't bothering nobody, Brother Mel. She was minding her own business. But what do we do to facilitate such a move, such a manifestation? What must we do? What must we become? What must we embrace in order to enable ourselves to be used in this manner? What must we do to embrace being used by God? Let's look at several things about Mary's situation that will help us. Number one, it starts with a vision. It starts with a vision. Verse 26 says, "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her." The angel appeared to Mary. I said it begins with vision. The angel appeared to Mary and began to convey to her God's plans and God's desires. This is how anything heavenly becomes a reality in the earth. It starts with a vision. Probably not an angel, but with an inward unveiling of the prophetic purpose and future for your life. The angel proceeded to describe God's desires, and the important vision for Mary wasn't the angel, but it was the unveiling of God's plan. This same is true for us. So first, we must know what are God's objectives. Number two, there is an issue of worship. There is an issue of worship. Verse 28 says, "The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you.'" One version says, says hail in verse 28, but the word is really rejoice. It says greetings, you are highly favored. Hail, you who are highly favored. But it is really saying rejoice. Here are several reasons to rejoice. Number one, you have God's favor. Number two, the Lord is with you. And number three, you are blessed. But one other thing that could be seen here. If I was married, I know this would be my reason for rejoicing. Rejoice because you've been chosen. My brothers and my sisters, we should rejoice because we have been chosen. We should worship simply because God has deemed us worthy to be a channel for the heaven to come into earth. Rejoice that God believes in your ability to carry out this task. Mary wasn't sure what this was all about. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be, the Bible said. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. Why this appearance by an angel? But the angel spoke to her. He said, fear not. Simply stated, calm your fears about the uncertain future. How do I do that? She said. It speaks to me that what God is wanting you to bring forth will assist in establishing his kingdom, his rule, and his authority. Calm your fears and know that God has a purpose and a plan, and he will strengthen you in your endeavor. The most crucial issue comes right before the climax. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. This is a decisive factor. We must settle the how shall this be question. How can we bring this to pass? How can we accomplish it? Let's figure it out in verse 34 through 37, where it says, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth and your relative is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. Number one is this: it doesn't require connection to man. It's not by human method. Number two is based upon the timing, movement, and involvement of the Holy Spirit. It involves the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit to overshadow you means for him to be in the foreground and you to be in the background. Always remember that God has brought others from barrenness to blessedness, even if he used different methods. Fourth point is this: God is with you, and that alone makes it possible. So the last thing we must do to be able to give birth to God's promise, you've got to open your spiritual womb. You must say, as she said in verse 38, be it unto me according to thy word. If God said it, you can do it. Then you got to do it. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be unto me as you have said. And then the angel left her. So my brothers and my sisters, as I turn it back over to Brother Mel, I want you to know this. We must open ourselves up to God's power and spirit and let him do something great in you and through you. So my question is this: can you give birth to God's promise? Can you give birth to God's baby? The Bible says that we can do all things through Christ that gives us strength. My brothers and my sisters, as we are in the gifting season, do not go by without receiving the greatest gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Son of God, the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of a newness of life, the gift of salvation, the gift of sanctification, the gift of healing. These are the greatest gifts that we could have ever been given. So what must we do to birth God's promise? Number one, we must be open. My brothers and my sisters, we have to open ourselves up to receive what it is that God gives us. You know, my brothers and my sisters, I always tell the people over here at Empowered Church that a gift is nothing if you do not receive it. You can be given a gift, but you have to receive it in order for that gift to be useful unto you. Let me tell you, the Bible said we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So my question to you today is, do you want everlasting life? Let me tell you, it is easy to stress out over this Christmas season. But let me tell you something. The Christmas season day, December 25th, is only a day on the calendar. We have a gift. Every single day, God is giving us brand new mercies every day of our lives. So, my brothers and my sisters, will you give birth to God's promise? As I turn it over to Mel, I'll leave you with what I always leave you with, and that is simply this, my brothers and my sisters. The will of God will never take you where the grace of God cannot keep you. Open up and let him into your heart on this day. I'm sure he will change your life for the better. I love you. Be blessed.